Now, I get that you might be nervous about a 13-year-old preaching, but I assure you that my aim is to teach the truth and nothing but the truth. And that's the word, John 17, verse 17. If you'd mark your Bibles to Romans, the 5th chapter, we'll be reading from there in just a moment. Romans, the 5th chapter. My lesson this evening is called Wow. What I want to talk about is some things that we often take for granted, or some things that we don't thank God enough for. And the first one I want to talk about is the Lord's forgiveness. I do not know why that is like that, but the Lord's forgiveness. The biggest act of forgiveness I think we often overlook in the entire Bible is when the Lord sent His Son, His only Son, to die on the cross for our sins. We can read about this in Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John 19. Christ did this when we were sinners. Now in Romans 5, I'd like to read verse 8. It says, "But God demonstrates His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now some might ask the question, why is it an act of forgiveness? Well, it's an act of forgiveness because He's not only relieving us of our sins, but He's forgiving us for persecuting Him. In Luke 23 and verse 34, Luke 23, verse 34, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He's also giving us the opportunity to be forgiven in the future. We are forgiven by being baptized, and none of this could be possible without Christ's sacrifice. Let's read Romans, the 6th chapter. Page over in Romans, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 3. It says, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed of sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him." 1 John 1:9 tells us that Christ is just to forgive. And personally, I call Christ the ultimate forgiver, because He forgives those that are persecuting against Him, the ones that are crucifying Him. But He also forgives us sinners, as we saw in Romans 5:8. Another thing to think about is that without the Lord's forgiveness, we would not be in heaven. Turn with me to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Romans 3 and verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Without God's forgiveness and without His grace, we would not be in the kingdom of heaven. Romans 3:23 also tells us that we weren't worthy then and we weren't worthy now. Christ's sacrifice was truly great. But finally, just as Christ had forgiveness, we should too. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, just as Christ had forgiveness, we should too. But that doesn't only go for forgiveness. See, we know that we can't be just like Christ, for He was sinless, blameless, spotless. But we need to strive to be as close to Him as we can. The next thing I'd like to talk about that we often take for granted is the free will that God has given us. You see, we aren't predestined to heaven or hell, as many churches believe and as many people believe. We have the free will to do right or wrong. Let's turn over to Second Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be baptized. He wants us to be with Him in the end. Now, if many churches, or if we were predestined, as many churches believe, as many people believe, how can they explain Revelation 2 and verse 10? Let's read that. Revelation 2 and verse 10. It says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." See, if we were predestined to heaven or hell, shouldn't it say, "Nicholas Beamett, you're going to heaven, do whatever you want." Or, "Paulette Beamett, you're going to heaven, do whatever you want." But notice it says we have to do something. It says, "Be faithful until death." And that's how we will get our crown of life. So we have the free will to choose God or to choose hell. Some examples of people who had the free will but didn't use it for right was Adam and Eve. In Genesis, the third chapter, they didn't have to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But they did. They were tempted. In Genesis, the third chapter, verse 6, it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." They use their free will, not for God. God commands them not to do this. But also, Nadab and Abihu had the free will to use strange fire, or as Brother Gary said this morning, unauthorized fire, in Leviticus chapter 10, and in Numbers 3. But also, the free will that God gave us was used for good. In Acts 2, where Peter preaches the first recorded sermon. In Acts 2, Peter preaches the first recorded sermon, and 3,000 souls are added to the church. The Lord adds them to the church. Notice that result. But once again, in Acts 9, Saul didn't have to go to the city. Let's turn there. Acts 9. In verse 6, the Lord says to Saul, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." He didn't have to go into that city. He could have gone elsewhere. But he chooses with his free will to go as the Lord told him. But notice 14 verses later, verse 20 says, "Immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." So like I said, notice that result. In Acts 2, Peter preaches. He uses his free will for good. And what happens? The Lord adds 3,000 souls to the church. In Acts 9, Saul listens to God. And what happens? Verse 20, he's preaching Christ. If we use our free will for good, there will be a good outcome, a good result. But now I'd like to look at some things that we should be doing with our free will. The first one I'd like to talk about is serving the Lord. Matthew 6:24 says, "You cannot serve two masters, for you will love one and hate the other, or cling to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and man." We can't serve both God and man. It's like riding a fence. You have to choose one side. You can't stay in the middle. It's heaven or hell, God or Satan. But I'd like to point out that if you're on that path to hell, you can come to the path to heaven. But just as easy as you're on the path to heaven, you can fall and go to the path to hell. But also, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So in serving the Lord, we need to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding. But also, another thing to do with the free will that God gave us is to teach. Matthew 28. Let's read that in verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Here's the verse I really want to focus on, verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." This is a direct command from Jesus. It's not only a command, it's our responsibility to do that. We're to preach so that others can come to the Lord. Once again, the example of Peter in Acts 2. He preached, and 3,000 souls were added to the church. But another thing to be doing with our free will is not forsaking the assembling. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Starting in verse 24, rather. It says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, I think that we're going to make it a priority in our life to not forsake the assembling, to be here when the doors are open. Now, what if God says to us on Judgment Day, "You forsook the assembling too much. Depart from me, I never knew you." Would you want that to be you? I wouldn't want that to be me. We need to make sure that that's a point in our lives to be here. But finally, with our free will, we need to be studying. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." But in the next chapter in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness." As a group, we need to be studying like the Bereans in Acts 17. Acts 17 verse 11 says they studied the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. But finally, what do we take for granted? We take for granted all the blessings that God gives us. We have so many blessings in this world, some that we often overlook. Who drove to church? That's a blessing. Who had breakfast this morning and lunch this afternoon? That's a blessing. We have our Bibles that we study out of. That's a blessing. We have this building while others are worshiping in the fear of being persecuted, molested. We have this air to breathe. The simple air to breathe is a blessing. Or just as I said, Christ was the ultimate forgiver. He's also the ultimate blessing. We're blessed in so many ways beyond what we can imagine. Please lead number 118, Count Your Blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraging the call in love, and your many blessings in your one but one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings in them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. blessings money cannot buy. Your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. And comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count so many blessings, see what God.
Thank you, Andrew, for leading that song. If you would turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4 and verse 19. It says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I truly believe that God has blessed us with all our needs and so much more. We have cars, like I said, but we have phones. We don't need all that. What we need is food, clothes, shelter, and water. But yet we have so much more. You might want to know, how can I thank God for blessing me so richly? Well, first off, you can thank him by doing his commandments. In John 14, in verse 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And in verse 21, it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." We're not only showing our thanks to him by keeping his commandments, but we're showing our love to him. But also, another way to thank him is prayer. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." But someone to be like in prayer is Daniel. In Daniel 6, in verse 10, it says that he opened up his windows 3 times a day toward Jerusalem. And get this, it's while there's a king's decree. So it means there's a law not to pray to anyone but the king's God. Yet Daniel does it openly, freely. And lastly, I want to say we'll have so many blessings to come if we stay on the straight and narrow path to heaven. Now, I haven't used the word wow in this lesson yet. I'm sure you're wondering why I chose this as a title. My dad and I, who many of you met Sunday and on the Friday of the gospel meeting, we went to Tennessee about a month ago, and we got up at 5 a.m., which I rarely do, to go noodling, which is a type of fishing. And we get up, and you have to remember, it's in the valleys of Tennessee. And we get up, and this is the first thing we see. A beautiful view, and the first thing I think to Dad is, wow. Wow, God made this. God created this. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." With the fog covering the field and the hills in the background, it was just totally beautiful. And it's not millions or billions of years old, but it's God's. And the three things that I brought out to us are three things that I think we mostly take for granted. We take for granted the most. And that is the blessings that he's given us, his forgiveness, and the free will he's given us. Revelation 20 and verse 12. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says that we will be judged by our works. And I ask the question tonight, will our works that we're going to be judged by, will those be godly works? Would you take the opportunity to be baptized tonight? Our life is like a vapor. James 4:14. Compared to what we're going to spend in heaven or hell is an eternity. So whatever we have on this earth, it's short. It's like a vapor. What you need to do to be saved is right here. You must hear. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must believe. Mark 16:16, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believeth not shall be damned. You must repent. Acts 2:38. You must confess. Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must be baptized. Romans 6:3-4, as we read earlier. And you must stay faithful until death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Stay faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life. We ask that you come forward at this time if you need to be baptized, if you need to make your life right with God, or if you simply need the prayers of the congregation. Please make any and all needs known as we stand and sing the song selected.